Hello.
Yes, sir.
Thought you'd be amused to hear that the judgment of Julie and Trisha and Pat and Eddie, they were here. They all were, you know, they had watched CBS, and they said they had never seen Eric Severide, Marvin Kalb, and Dan Rather. They were just green, sick.
It was a bad night for Eric.
Well, they're all just sick about the fact.
They weren't
happy about it, that the piece had come in there. They just were pissing on it all over. And I got a hold of Colson, and I said, God damn it, ream him a bit on this, because that's the trouble. We really don't have the operation to do it. I mean,
oh, sure we do.
Well, no, I mean, we can't get it through, though, because people won't listen to us, but...
Sure they will. They're set. We're on exactly the right. That we've got riding on from the. And they were afraid of it. They knew it then because they kept saying, "Well, we don't have the stuff, you know, so we can't comment on it, all this stuff." But we can tear them up. And that's the legacy of Ted Agnew from way back from Des Moines, really. That
is it.
The instant commentary thing. They can.
Mm-hmm.
They help us on that stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. But that the speech really, I don't think could have been better. We can't.
And it was right not to go to the Congress, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I knew it from the moment when I briefed Mansfield and the others. They
because
sat
they couldn't
there.
Swallow it.
They were awestruck.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. They would have sat there in their goddamn hands.
Yeah.
This was the right place, and you could talk to the POW wives, you could talk
right.
to South Vietnam. I couldn't have done that in the Congress.
That's right.
This was the right speech,
and
it was the right place.
You didn't want applause. It was, in a sense, so masterfully underplayed in the way that, you know, I mean, you dropped this huge bomb in your first sentence.
Right.
And there it was, and it just sits there, and I think it just, you know, it's kind of like a thunderclap, but it was great. In the reaction stuff, it's fascinating. The thing that you're getting very big play on is the President Johnson statement, which
the vilification. You mean?
No, just the how what a good thing it was the human part of it.
Yeah.
In the.
But I talked to him.
The caring words about Lyndon Johnson. You know that it mattered.
Yeah.
And that you cared what he thought and all that. Dick Wilson, got some of these commentaries here, but
said, give a few of them to me if you don't.
Dick says this was the president at his best. He was clear, concise, and convincing. He answered the questions raised on the difference between now and May and January. I particularly liked his Johnson reference and his assurance to the POW families. He confirmed very subtly why the bombing was necessary, and even Javits recognizes that now. As Chuck probably told you, Javits came on saying the bombing was what did it. His judgment has been good. It's now vindicated. His opponents, particularly McGovern, were wrong, and people will now realize that what I wrote on this and what the president said was right. Which is, you know,
Were Dick on television?
No, this is a, phone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see.
Touching base phone reaction thing.
Yeah.
And
we'll get some of our people back then.
Bill Nolan said, I've known the president for more than a quarter of a century. This was his finest hour. It was an outstanding statement by a leader who kept his pledge. I think that ultimately forces outside the control of Washington will determine the fate of Indochina. However, I think the president has acted in a statesmanlike manner, performed in a presidential way despite intense criticism from the nation and abroad. And we're picking that up.
That's great for Nolan. I hope I'd like to get that one out.
Right. Emmett Dedman says, as a former POW who was in prison by the communists, I can tell you that the 60-day return of POWs and troop withdrawals were the most dramatic things I have ever heard. And that you're going to get a lot of that. Brady Blackett, the Cincinnati Inquirer, wonderful news, great message, hope it'll lead to a generation of peace. His steadfastness paid off.
Good.
And
he's no particular strong fellow.
That's right. Here's C.A. Scott, the publisher of the Atlanta Daily World, the black newspaper in Atlanta, says it was a great speech. Peace-loving people everywhere will be grateful to announce my President Nixon and all parties concerned agree to peace. The terms reveal that the president's patience, courage, and persistence has produced the honorable peace he sought. We're proud to be among those who have supported the president's refusal to surrender and thereby make possible another war.
Great.
And The other black newspaper, the Chicago Daily Defender, Louis Martin, says, this is the greatest speech we've ever heard Nixon make. Everyone's thoroughly relieved the great tragedy is lifted. We thought it was significant that he paid tribute to Lyndon Johnson. The peace agreement transcends all party loyalties, and all Americans are greatly relieved. Look forward to a new era.
Well, so maybe CBS isn't really the...
Hell no. Tom Vail, it, was magnificent. It was a brilliant job, and the Plain Dealer is going to say so editorially tomorrow. I can't imagine how a president could have done a better job. He stood up to Congress, he stood up to the radical fringe, and he really put down jerks like Senator Saxby, who shot off their mouths for quick popularity at home.
Good for old Tom.
I mean, so you're getting that kind of... Now, here's Mike O'Neill, the New York Daily News. It was a great speech and exactly to the point. I thought his explanation of why he's not reported to the people on the situation was extremely valid. He touched all of the bases, and he's neutralized those bastards who've been criticizing him. I noticed there was no mention of Laos or Cambodia, but I presume the details will be forthcoming tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. That's
it was
right.
A hell of a speech.
Isn't that good? They're all, well, that's good then. It must have been a good speech.
And Jim Kilpatrick, I'm so happy it's over. I'm going to be restrained tonight because I want to hear the full details tomorrow. But he's certainly neutralized the knee-jerk libs. It seems he's gotten what he said he was going to get. And see, you're getting this thing of the bounce back on the other people. And you'll see this in the coverage.
Sure.
Then Louis Gazzo, the editor of the Seattle PI. The tribute to LBJ was beautifully done, touching and convincing. Relay my tremendous congratulations to the president. I hope the reason for secrecy during the past 5 weeks will be convincing to the editors, because it ought to take the monkey off the president's back. In other words, you know,
I thought that section was well written.
Frank Rizzo says it was a great speech, fantastic. He proved he was right. An excellent statement on President Johnson. And,
see, Johnson, Bob, we got to realize, has got some friends that don't want to say it.
Of course.
Now they'll come out. He's
That's
dead.
Right.
Huh?
That's right. Here's the Mike Rivisto, the Sons of Italy. Peace with honor. All the conditions Nixon wanted were met. Very good on his own silence. And that a couple comments. There's another one of the Sons of Italy. Good that he didn't do this before the inauguration. The statement on Johnson was marvelous. Paul Miller. The announcement was handled very well. People have waited long for this. The president has been great in his patience, strength, and accomplishment. And Bill White, the speech was strong but properly reserved. This is William S. White. I appreciated his generosity to President Johnson. I noted his belief the president, too, can carry on, and the apparent fact we've won the right to help. He explained well why he has been so quiet lately. Taft Schreiber, the president was at his magnificent best. He, in a few words, illustrated what he meant by peace with honor. I particularly liked his talk to POW families and his respect for President Johnson.
Yeah, the Johnson thing, I think, was a... See, sure, we'd have gone before the Congress, but it wasn't something
it wasn't
the right thing, Bob.
No question. Vito Marzullo, you know, our government in Chicago, said, everything's wonderful. I think you made a big hit nationwide. Was particularly impressed with the way he praised President Johnson. I admire him a great deal for his fine remarks. And Angelo Candelore, one of our Italian guys at the Fermi Foundation, is probably going to be the most memorable moment of the year. We're coming out a proud people rather than what happened to the French.
What's the Family Foundation, though?
Fermi. Louis Fermi Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
He says, rather than bailing out like many people said we should, he was glad the president mentioned his own silence and emphasized there's certain things the government can say and certain things they can't say. He approves of the president bombing in order to achieve the peace.
He's one of the few.
but it's a good point. Aiken says, I'm feeling better physically and mentally than I have for years. I think the agreement was the best possible we could get, and I don't think it could have been reached 6 months ago. Now, if Russia and China will only cooperate with us, we could restore peace throughout the area there and give them more prosperity than they've ever had. President Nixon and the country must be congratulated. And Stennis, it was a great statement. I'm very pleased indeed. I'm very proud. I want to commend the president for toughing it out. He was the man who did it. He made the difference. He carried the load. The points mentioned were well covered and satisfactory. I see a potential trouble spot with northern troops in South Vietnam.
Sure.
Tell the president I would support aid to South Vietnam, and I would support a future policy for the entire Pacific Asia area where there could be soft spots unless there's a strong hand at the helm. Then this the mayor of Spokane, Washington, David.
One thing I was going to suggest, just a small thing, but I think that when I walk into that leaders meeting, have one of our guys or like Aaron's or something, they ought to applaud a little when
yep.
they come in.
Right.
They really have got to do it
right.
So that is, you know, it'll force Mansfield and those assholes to do something.
Absolutely. They will. Then we'll make sure. David Rogers, Mayor Spokane, said, the substance of the president's mention of the war is over will have tremendous effect on the families in the Spokane area. The mayor has overwhelming thoughts for the POW people, especially at this time. Felt the shortness of the president's message was good. He gave the news and got the message across. Especially appropriate to hammer home the fact that ending the war is only the first step. Also very appropriate to emphasize need for other world powers to do their part in maintaining a permanent ceasefire. Finally, the mayor is very glad the president's announcement came after after his election and inaugural, so there's no political connotation, and ensuring the president will go down in history as a great man. Senator Robert Byrd says five American presidents have felt it vital to go into Southeast Asia. Richard Nixon deserves the credit for bringing this long, miserable struggle to an end. I thank God our POWs can be united soon. I'm also pleased the president's plan offers an ally we did not choose to forsake a chance.
That's good. Hope he says that.
Yeah. Senator Bennett, the president has now delivered on his promise to the American people. His achievement will be judged in the years to come as one of the greatest accomplishments of our time. Now that the long settlement has come, I hope the political pressures on the president will cease. Richard Nixon deserves the full respect of a grateful nation. And we got checking some of the gals around the country, you know, our women leader types, the Rhoda Stewart of Vice President BorgWarner said, thought the president was more confident and assured than she had ever seen him. The speech was excellent. She was extremely pleased with the message. And another woman at IBM, this is the greatest speech the president's ever made. And, you know, Les Aaron said, a terrific victory not only for the president, but the whole nation. Shows the product of guts and determination and staying on course. And he couldn't go to bed without the president knowing that. Harry Byrd says, this is a night that I and all Americans have been waiting for. My first thoughts go out to the families of the POWs. The president and his assistant, Dr. Kissinger, deserve special commendation for the patience and diligence with which they handled a very difficult and delicate matter. And it's you're getting that kind of thing. And that's, I think you're going to, Senator Baker says, the best, most forceful presentation I've seen in the 20 years I've known him. You're going to get that kind of bounce off of it, and that when you get that kind of reaction from the people, you're going to also get, we can gin up some, but you're going to get a hell of a lot more than we gin up in the adverse reaction to the networks for you know, not showing some enthusiasm.
Yeah, I suppose.
You will. But it's a... You are, I think, just totally right on the thing of not going up to the hill.
Yes, it turned out right.
It was
best, yeah. It was a temptation, but it was good to resist it.
And there would have been a drama to that in a way, but there was a hell of a drama to this. What it boils down to is you don't need to dramatize something that's
like China.
Built-in stuff, yeah.
Like China, hell. Another thing we've got to remember. God damn it, I did this alone. I didn't do it with the Congress. They didn't, to their great discredit.
Yep.
I mean, you know, except for our friends, yep. They didn't help a hell of a lot.
That's right. No, I think it was done right, and boy, the short speech was good. It was less than 10 minutes.
I thought it was less than 10. Ron told me it was 11 and a half minutes, but
no,
he was wrong.
It's 9:25.
That's what I thought.
9 minutes, 25 seconds from the time you said good evening.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
We'll get a good bounce. Of course, we're going to be inevitably just inundated with, because there's enormous press interest in the specifics. We're going to be loaded with a lot of facts for a day or two on this thing now. I mean, you know, as when we put the agreement out, analyzing all the...
Well, Henry can let them screw around about the agreement.
They'll wallow around in that.
People ain't going to care a goddamn thing about that. But
no,
Henry
that's
will
right.
Handle that brilliantly.
That's right.
And I'm going to get him down to the Congress Friday and let him give them a wallop, too.
But that's why this thing has come out exactly right.
See, he'll go down to the Congress and let them, and they'll ask needling question. He'll kill them.
Yeah.
He really will.
These two big meetings?
Yes, in the two chambers. Yes, I said
right.
You should do two things. Go down there and do one in the House and one in the Senate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Bill, I won't like it, Bill Rogers, but God damn it, Bill doesn't know enough about this to do this briefing. Henry's the one that should do it. He knows about it.
Well, hell yes.
He deserves the credit.
These aren't committee briefings. This isn't a thing where you're going to Bill's domain. You're going on the floor.
That's right.
And
good.
So it'll be a different kind of thing. And that in itself will be one hell of a thing.
Right.
You know.
And coming Friday, we'll need it about then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very good.